Let's start the city council meeting. This is Monday, May 21st, 2007. And we have council member Wayland on the phone. Mike, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's always interesting looking up and trying to figure out where that voice is coming from. But welcome. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
First item is we have an invocation and a Pledge of Allegiance. I don't see any Boy Scouts out there today. I'll lead the Pledge of Allegiance today. We have invocation from Pastor Paul Covert from the Central Christian Church of the East Valley. Is the pastor here this evening? All right, if you'll come forward and lead us in the invocation, then I'll lead the group in the Pledge of Allegiance following. Please come forward.
Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're delighted tonight to invite your presence into this meeting. You know, Father, that government is something that it's a privilege that you've given us as human beings to govern ourselves, and you've given us principles to follow. I pray, Father, that your spirit would be here tonight, that you would be honored by what's said, what's thought, what's done. I pray, Father, that this night would be productive for the city of Mesa. We thank you for the place that you've given us to live, and for these your servants who serve this community. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Could you please join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item is the reading of the consent agenda. So we'll read that in and consider it as one motion.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There'll be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes from previous meetings as written. Item 3A has been deleted. Item 3B has been deleted. Item 8A, take action on new beer and wine store license for Fresh and Easy Neighborhood Market. Item 8B, take action on new beer and wine store license for Super Dollar Discount, 1340 East Broadway Road, number 1. Item 8C, take action on new restaurant license for Neighbor's Garden Cafe, 2740 South Alma School Road, number 13. Item 8D, take action on new restaurant license for Restaurante Real, 909 East Main Street. Item 8E, take action on new restaurant license for Wingstop, 937 North Dobson Road, Suite B3. Item 9A, take action on contract for hardware and software upgrade to automated call distribution system, $29,176.77. Item 9B, take action on contract for radio frequency identification project, hardware and software, $217,891.87. Item 9C, take action on contract for three light duty vehicles, $99,737.96. Item 9D, take action on 3-year supply contract for liquid chlorine, $33,781.25 annually. Item 9E, take action on contract for tire rubber modification surface sealant, $335,650.05. Item 9F, take action on 2-year supply contract for streetlight and traffic signal poles, $251,600.45. Item 10A, take action on modifying the alley abandonment process. Item 11C, introduce ordinance for June 4th, amend Mesa City Code to eliminate fee for disposition of residential alleys. Item 11E, introduce ordinance for June 4th, zoning case Z07-36, 10100 East Southern Avenue to add a freestanding daycare facility. Item 11F, introduce ordinance for June 4th, zoning case Z07-37, 6659 East University Drive for a rezone. Item 11G has been added to the consent agenda. Introduce ordinance for June 4th, amend Mesa City Code relating to traffic modifications. Item 12A, take action on resolution for siphon draw drainage improvements. Item 12B, take action on resolution to grant sale city-owned property in the 225 block of West Vine Avenue. Item 12C, take action on resolution for grant funds in the amount of $53,220 to provide training and DNA analysis equipment. Item 12D, take action on resolution for shopping and employment center on Elliott Road between Loop 202 and Haas Road. Item 13, adopt notice of intention to increase rates and setting June 25th as date for public hearing. Item 15A has been deleted. Item 15B, take action on ordinance to amend Mesa City Code regarding parking enforcement. Item 15C, take action on ordinance annexation case A06-18, annex northeast corner of Broadway and Haas Road. Item 15D, take action on ordinance annexation case A06-33, annex land on South Sossaman north of McDowell Road. Item 15E has been deleted. Item 15F has been deleted. Item 15G, take action on ordinance zoning case A07-15, 8743 East Pecos Road for an office warehouse development. Item 15H, take action on ordinance zoning case A07-27, 3800 North Higley Road for an industrial subdivision. Item 15I has been deleted. Item 15K, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-31, 337 South Nina Drive for a rezone. Item 15L, take action on ordinance zoning case Z07-32, 5747 East McAlps Road for retail center. Item 16A, take action on subdivision plat Eastgate Mesa North, a condominium, 540 West Iron Avenue. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, fellow council members, I apologize for not catching it earlier, but item 12D is related directly to item 15M, which I had pulled the other day, and so I'm going to want to pull 12D as well.
Okay. All right. Let's remove 12D from the consent. Are there any other requests to remove items?
There are, Mayor. Three. The first is 12B on page 9, sale of city property.
Okay.
Oh, she changed it. I'm sorry. That's been changed. Is this on consent? Okay. I'm sorry. You can, that does not need to be removed. Oh, it does. Oh, I'm
12B. Jack, did you remove that one?
This one does not. Okay.
Yeah, 12B is
12B
on.
12B needs to be removed. I'm sorry.
All right.
And then 15H, page 11, Z07-27.
All right, 15H. Okay. With those two being removed, I believe it's two, three.
Scott.
Oh, the Scotts. Entertain a motion for approval of the consent. Have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Walters for approval of the consent agenda with the removals as indicated. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote on the consent?
I vote aye.
All right. The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The first item to conduct this evening then is going to be item number 4A. And this is to conduct a public hearing on the minor plan general amendment. This is General Plan Minor Amendment 07-04. It's a 1300 to 1500 block of South Sossaman Road West Side, located south of Southern Avenue and west of Sossaman Road, about 20 acres. This is a minor general plan amendment to change the general land use map from business park to community commercial. Are there any requests to speak under this item?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Did anyone come to address the council on this public hearing, on this minor plan amendment? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing portion. Item number 4B is to take action on the following resolution. And this is the same as stated earlier, the 1300 to 1500 block of Sossaman and the corresponding resolution. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Walters for approval. Vivek Connor?
I was just going to say, as a frequent user of Costco, I'm appreciative that they're willing to have another store here in Mesa. Thank you.
Okay, this has a companion zoning case of 15J, which we'll bring up here shortly. All right, I have a motion and a second for approval. Any discussion? Please vote. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Vote aye.
Vote aye. All right, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next item is on page 3. This is a public hearing for a minor plan general amendment. This one is numbered 07-05. And this is the 1200 block of South Salsamon Road West Side, located southwest of Southern Avenue and Salsamon Road, 5 acres, plus or minus. A minor general plan amendment to change the general plan land use from business park to neighborhood commercial. Now, the two are actually in close proximity to each other. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Mayor.
Did anyone come this evening to address the council on this public hearing? All right, then I'm going to go ahead and close it. And we will take action on the following resolution. This is resolution 07-05, and it fits the description as mentioned in the public hearing. I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Walters for approval. Any discussion? Seeing none, would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen?
I vote aye.
All right. The next item is item number 6, and this is to conduct a public hearing and take action on the annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center Improvement District number 228. I own business property in the downtown area, so I have a legal conflict on this one, so I will refrain from discussion and voting and turn it over to the Vice Mayor.
And that's for both 6A and 6B, Mayor?
That's correct.
Mr. Whalen?
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Upon the advice of the city attorney, I'll be declaring a conflict due to the fact that my business has security customers within the town center. I will not be discussing 6A or voting on 6B.
Thank you. Are there any requests to speak on item 6A, the public hearing?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
Did anyone come here expecting to speak on this public hearing? Okay, then we'll declare, Mayor, if you want to hit that, thank you. We'll declare the public hearing closed, and we'll move on to item 6B, which is to take action on the following resolution, approving the annual assessments for the Mesa Town Center Improvement District number 228. The proposed annual assessments for fiscal year 2007-2008 do not include any rate increases. This district was established to provide enhanced municipal services to the Mesa Town Center. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Is there any council discussion on this item? All right, would you please vote? The motion carries with four... He's abstaining. The motion carries with four ayes. Councilmember Rawls voting nay. The mayor and Councilmember Whalen abstaining. Mayor, it's back to you.
Okay. The next item is... Where are we at here?
Oh, I skipped one there. Seven. I beg your pardon. Page 4.
All right. On page 4, number 7. This is to conduct a public hearing concerning the recommended changes to the development impact fees. And this they have related items on 11A and 11B. Are there any requests to speak in the public hearing concerning impact fees?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Did anyone come this evening to address during the public comment portion of this item? All right. I'll go ahead and then close that public comment on the development impact fees. Next item then is 9G. That's on page 6. And 9G is the Police Technical Services Building. And I've been informed by staff that this has some asphalt construction work that will be complementary to the building of this facility. And I have a potential conflict of interest because I have an ownership interest in an asphalt construction company. So, Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor. This is the Police Technical Services Building. This project will construct a new 48,577 square foot multi-story police technical services building that will house the Mesa Crime Lab and identification facilities. It will be located on the existing Justice Complex site between Morris Street and Robson and between First Street and Second Street in the parking lot south of the existing court building. It's recommended that the award of the construction phase service contract go to D.L. Withers Incorporated with a guaranteed maximum price of with a 10% allowance for change orders for a total award of $18,457,014.40. The funding is available from existing public safety bonds and quality of life sales tax money. Are there any requests to speak on this item?
I have none, Vice Mayor.
All right. I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Summers, seconded by Councilmember Jones. Did anybody on the council wish to speak on this? Councilmember Whalen, did you have any comments on this one?
Vice Mayor, I think the comments were made at our study session last week. This building has been long awaited by the police department, and I think will serve our citizens well.
Thank you. Councilmember Whalen chairs the Public Safety Committee. Appreciate your work on that. With that motion and second and seeing no further comments, would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, would you please vote?
I vote aye.
Thank you. The motion carries with 6 ayes and the mayor abstaining because of a potential conflict of interest.
The next item is on page 7. This is actually the introduction of the following ordinances and setting June 4th, 2007 as the date of the public hearing on the ordinances. And we have 11A and 11B. 11A is amending Title 5, Chapter 17 of the Mesa City Code relating to development impact fees, to adopt new impact fees, and to eliminate impact fees for cultural facilities. All right, let's address that. Councilmember Rawls.
Thank you, Mayor. This item, 11A, is on the agenda. I just appreciate you letting me have this on the agenda, and I appreciate staff putting it together in a way that it becomes a clean vote. But however you feel about Summit development fees, whether they should be increased or decreased, the statute says that in order to impose an impact fee, it has to be for a necessary government service. I do not believe that cultural facilities, however desirable, however nice, however wonderful for the community, are not a necessary government service. And so therefore, I would move that we forward item 11A to the or introduce item 11A rather than 11B for our June 4th meeting. I'll make a motion to that effect.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second? Seeing none. Procedurally, if there is not a motion to move this forward, what's the action?
The item fails, Mayor, so you can now go on to item 11B. Right. Item 11A will not be introduced.
All right, so on June 4th, we will not see a reintroduction of that item.
That's correct.
All right, let's take 11B. This is amending Title 5, Chapter 17 of the Mesa City Code relating to development impact fees to adopt new impact fees. I have a motion by Councilmember Walters, seconded by Councilmember Jones for approval. Any discussion on this item? Okay, would you please vote? Put in again. Rex. Kyle. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is 6 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Rawls voting nay. Let's see, that puts us on page 8, item 11D. This is zoning case Z07-35. It's in District 1. It's the 2,000 to 2,600 blocks of West 8th Street, north side, north of the 202 freeway and City of Mesa Reclamation Plant. That's 125 plus or minus acres. And this is to establish a development master plan with portions of the site requested to be rezoned from public facility to C3, rezoned from C3 PAD to C3, to C3, rezoned with a bonus intensity zone overlay, and a council use permit for residential uses within the C3 zoning district. This request is to establish the base zoning districts and land use for Wave Yard development master plan, a future mixed-use development with entertainment, retail offices, and residential land uses. I have 2 requests to speak on this one, but let me call on the Vice Mayor first. Vice Mayor Walters.
Thank you, Mayor. As I have done with every other discussion on Wave Yard, I'm going to declare the same conflict of interest. My daughter-in-law is a part owner in the family business that owns all of the water parks in the valley. As a result, th- this could be a potential conflict of interest because they might compete with them. And for that reason, I have refrained from discussion or voting on this. I will do this again this evening. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. James McGuire, followed by Gregory Woods.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members, my name is James McGuire, 903 North Nina Drive, just directly east of Alma School and north of Westwood High School. So in the area that will be, you know, potentially impacted by this development, as well as others that are going in down there. I'm in favor of this project. You know, when you, sometimes I must confess, I watch Channel 11 and typically see a lot of, you know, naysayers and not so many supporters of any project. I don't know if they just have more time on their hands or what, or they're more passionate, or I don't know. But, you know, I'm a young professional living in Mesa. I've lived here 6 years in the same house. I plan to stay there. I love the neighborhood. I love my neighbors. I like the access to the freeway. And I'm starting to appreciate the fact that there's now going to be something to actually do in my neighborhood other than drive all the way south of the 60 to go to Home Depot or lunch or dinner or anything else. And I think that specifically the Wave Yard project addresses my personal lifestyle and that of a lot of my friends, where and the type of people we should be encouraging to come to Mesa that are people that are you know, have money to spend and are interested in these types of activities, whether it be kayaking or rafting or surfing or staying at a decent hotel near my house when my friends come to town, of which there are none currently. You know, having some what I would expect to be higher-end retail places to shop at without having to drive all the way out to North Scottsdale or south of Chandler or whatever. So for me personally, and the type of people that I hang out with and speak to daily, this is the kind of thing we want to see in Mesa. Now, granted, I don't live directly south of this project, and I might have a little different take on it if I knew there were people going to be driving through my neighborhood. However, you know, that's why we elect you guys, to mitigate those problems and enter into good deals with developers so that this is a win for the city. I really feel like it would be a benefit to me and to my family. Just for the record, there's been a lot of articles written in the newspaper about this, and I do log on there and post comments occasionally, and apparently you've posted too many "I want this in our neighborhood" comments, because, you know, several people have asked me, well, are you getting paid to, you know, just the conspiracy theorists that abound here in Mesa. And, you know, I'm a lawyer. I work for a law firm in Phoenix. And just for the record, our firm does not represent anyone or anything related to this project. I'm just a guy living in Mesa who really thinks that this is the type of thing that we should be trying to attract to the city. And frankly, if it were up to me, I really could care less that the citizens had a vote on this issue. In my mind, that's why we hire you people to negotiate these contracts. But once again, the people that, you know, in my opinion, want to keep Mesa down have made it so that, you know, it's just one more difficult hurdle for attracting quality developments to Mesa. And so certainly wouldn't hurt my feelings if that went away either. But again, I'm in favor of this. I think this is the type of thing we should be bringing to the city, you know, to attract the type of people that want to live in that type of area, that have money to spend, the people that want to recreate there. And frankly, we will use it too. So I encourage you to support this. Thanks.
Gregory Woods. Okay. All right. This is to set June 4th, 2007 for the introduction. So we will see this on June 4th, 2007. This is just the advance notice that it's coming up. So I have a motion by Councilmember Jones, seconded by Councilmember Rawls for approval.
Mayor?
Council discussion.
Mayor?
Yes.
Can I just clarify something, and maybe I misunderstood you. This is the introduction. It will be June 4th for the public hearing and the consideration.
Yes. What, did I say something different?
I thought I heard you said June 4th is the introduction.
Oh.
I just wanted to make sure it was
all
clear
right
on the
now,
record.
We will hear it on June 4th. Today is the introduction, and I may very well have said that. Thank you very much. All right. Any other comments or corrections for me? Okay. All right. Have a motion and second, then. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Right. Okay, the vote is six ayes and one abstention from Councilmember Walters. Right. Next item is also on, this one would be on page 9, 12B. And this is granting the sale of city-owned property in the 225 block of West Vine Avenue. The land is considered excess city property and is no longer required. And the sales price is $1,300,000. Have a request to speak. Jack Cannon.
Your Honor, the Mayor and members of the Council, thank you very much for this opportunity to speak. My name is Jack Hannon. I live at 736 South McDonald Street in Mesa. I am the president, I think, last I heard, of the Nuestro Neighborhood Association, which I believe would be affected by this proposal. I really have three questions that I would like to ask, if I may. The first is, what happened to our revitalization program that, according to the latest information we have, was still in effect in Nuestro Neighborhood? The second question is, what happened to our election for the Neighborhood Association, which was planned by the city staff a year ago, April? And we have received no notice of that election being changed or dropped or canceled. The third question is really one of, what impact would the sale of this property, which in our neighborhood is known as the piece of dirt, what impact would that have on the neighborhood as far as the quality of life of our people living in the neighborhood? And I really have a fourth question also, but it would kind of depend, I think, on the answers to the other three questions.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't you have a seat there in front? Let's procedurally, I'm not sure I can answer the one. The land as it's sold will stay with the existing zoning, which is R2 and M1. So what will be the impact of the sale? It depends on what the buyer wants to do with it. He certainly is free to come in and ask for a rezoning, or he can comply with the existing zoning on the site. City Attorney, want to jump in or correct me on that one? I hope not.
No, Mayor and Council. My only concern, my comment was going to be with regard to questions number one and two, what happened to the revitalization program and what happened to the election in the neighborhood. I think we can discuss that if it involves the sale of this city property. I guess we need to think a little bit about how this is agendized. The question before the council is only with regard to granting the sale of the city-owned property, not a broader discussion regarding the revitalization program for the Nuestro neighborhood. So I don't know if staff can answer that question in the context of this sale.
Mayor, members of the council, my understanding, it probably doesn't need to deal with this sale, but that the Nuestro revitalization area ended about a year ago. I believe there was information that was provided regarding the clean sweep containers and the amount of garbage that was picked up, the efforts that were made from some of the neighborhood projects that were involved, but that was over a year ago that project that ended. Regarding the election, I'm not familiar with any election what election that was going to take place in that neighborhood regarding the neighborhood association.
Was this an opportunity zone designation? It wasn't,
right.
It was
neighborhood revitalization. That was the next program that followed the opportunity zone.
Okay.
But a very similar type of program. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it sounds like the election, and at this point nobody knows. You want to give us some more information of what the election and why the city would be sponsoring an election for your association?
Under the direction of city staff, we carried on a number of activities under the heading of revitalization, including land use development, cleanup, cooperation with the police. Other such committees were formed and were quite active for over a year. The question of this property, I think it might be well if I'd be allowed to make a comment on that because I think it is vital to the revitalization property. There were plans for residential development, for a community center, for neighborhood businesses that were requested, and the some of the property, the Watkins and the Billings property particularly, were going to be used in connection with that. And the election was something that was suggested by the city staff, and we agreed to that, decided to go ahead. We thought it might expedite the carrying out of the planning for revitalization. But we were, I guess, serving in the sense of they also serve who only stand and wait. That was a year ago, March, precisely, that that election was announced by the city staff and was to take place in April a year ago. And we did not receive word that that had been canceled. Neither has the association received any word of the canceling of the revitalization program. I did find that out at the Latino Town Hall a year ago, October, from a staff member from the city who was there participating in one of the panel discussions. So I asked at that time what had happened to revitalization. I was told informally at that meeting that it had been canceled.
And your tie into this property is this property was an integral link into some of that revitalization? Is that what?
Our land use committee saw the use of the Watkins and the Billings property as vital for the revitalization that we thought was going to take place.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm somewhat familiar with that process that went on down there, and I know there was a push to do some housing units in there and others. And it always seemed to come back that it would cost the city additional money to either contribute the land or subsidize the land. And I was more personally in tune with selling it for a fair market value and getting out of that business. So that's why I support the sale here this evening. If there is, if somebody from staff can take a look and see if there are some letters that need to be sent out saying that we're not actively pursuing elections and working in your neighborhood at this time, I certainly can give you that type of notice and wrap up that process if that's what's necessary. Other comments or questions? Councilmember Jones.
Just a follow-up to what Councilmember Whalen had said downstairs, that knowing what the zoning is on this, and you mentioned a moment ago, there will be public input if there is a desire to change the zoning on that property to find out what will happen with it. There will be opportunity for the neighborhood to give their input, and I'm curious to see what use actually comes forward to use on this property, but any change from the existing zoning is going to have to go through the process and will have ample opportunity for input.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. My recollection is, and you probably all discussed this on Thursday while I was gone, but some of this money will have to go back into CDBG, which can then be used for another CDBG use, but I know that there was some conversation about whether or not some of this land could be donated for other neighborhood uses. Frankly, the city budget has not allowed for that, for us to do that. You know, there may have been a time in the history of the city when that would have been looked at, and they would have said, "Well, we can afford to just donate the land for the use." We are not at that place. The revitalization question, I don't think we should think of that as being over and done with. In terms of the neighborhood, that is something that even the opportunity zone that was in my district in the first place continues. People continue working on that even after the city was no longer participating. The idea behind these things, getting things rolling and having these conversations, was to get things rolling and then for the neighborhoods to continue on. So I don't see the selling of this property as putting an end to that revitalization opportunity. I don't see it as putting an end to the opportunities that the neighbors have to work together on this. I'm a little confused about the election thing, and I think maybe I'm looking back here, and I think Susan's probably going to take a look at that tomorrow. She's nodding her head to see what happened with that, and we can follow up on that. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. I have a motion for approval of 12B. Is there a second? All right. I have a motion and second. Motion by Councilmember Rawls, second by Councilmember Jones.
Mayor.
Councilmember Whalen.
voice from the ceiling.
Yep.
I would like to ask staff if they would provide Mr. Hanna the name of the purchaser of this property, and so that he, as president of the association, can meet with and have input into the uses that are projected for this property from the new buyer.
You can certainly do that. I think it's in the staff report. We'll get you a copy of that check. Right. Any other questions or comments on this item? All right, would you please vote? Mr. Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
All right, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Yeah. Let's see, where are we at now? Page 12D? All right. Oh, that's right, 12D. All right, so we're at the bottom of page 9, 12D. This is approving and authorizing the city manager to execute a development agreement between NKS Group 3 LLC and the City of Mesa for the development of a regional shopping and employment center on the north side of Elliott Road between Loop 202 and Howes Road. This is related to a zoning case 15M, and I think Councilmember Summers wanted this one pulled.
Yes, Mayor, thank you very much. This is a development in my district, or a proposed development. I shouldn't even say it's a development. It's a conceptual plan where a developer would like to go out, take a piece of property, and see what kind of development he can get on it. As part of that, he put together a development agreement for the city, because we had some concerns, frankly I did, with how this fits into the neighborhood. The conceptual site plan that was shown to us had a mid-rise hotel room that abutted some residential neighborhoods, which, quite frankly, I don't think is a fairly good use. I think the folks that moved out there can look out there and say, yes, sure, there's going to be some development going to the south of us, but can we realistically, would I have seen a high-rise going in behind me or a mid-rise? The answer to that is no. So this development agreement helps with some of these issues. First of all, on the high rise, the northern part of this will be conceptual only, which means that the developer must come back before this council and request zoning. There is no right granted by the council for this. This only allows this individual to go forward and see what kind of development can come in. Another safety on that measure here for the neighborhood here on height, if that is some of your concerns, it says here in section 3.2 that no development or site approvals would allow the construction of any buildings over a maximum height allowed by the development standard in C2 zoning district. I pulled our C2 zoning district definition of height, and for C2 it is two-story building. So not only are they not allowed to do that, but they would have to come to the council for zoning and then come back to the council for a waiver of height. My preference would be, and I know that the attorneys are here, that we move that to another location on the site plan, and we've had that discussion. I'm sure we, if that were to come forward, we'd have it again. It also says that the conceptual zoning here grants no rights and automatically terminates if the owner obtains former development approvals. There's some more in there. But we're also talking about a high-quality development and what that means, and there's some definition of that in section 3.6. It says in here specifically that it deals with Dana Park. And if you've been to Dana Park, you see the higher-end developments, the type of Nordstrom's and Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's. Those types of developments are what is being looked at here. And those are specifically outlined here. So this can't be approved, turn around, and put in a Super Walmart. The development agreement here says this is the type of items they're going for. They won't get that zoning. It also, what I found interesting is that it eliminates some fairly, I was actually interested in here, what is not allowed are drive-through fast food restaurants, muffler shops, transmission shops, auto repair, body shops, parts shop, and other automobile uses, which I did not ask for that to be put in. That was put in by the developer, I assume, and I think that eliminates a lot of concerns that some of the neighborhood has as well. There's been some issue with public open space. This also addresses some of that. I know it's not the large amount of open space that that we would be hoping for, some in the district, but it does call for 10 acres of designated parks, plaza, open space. 5 of those acres have to be contiguous. I bothered quite a bit of staff today calling around asking how big are our parks in the city, and wide range, but there are quite a few parks that are 3, 4, and 8 acres. So it does fit in with that. I know not everybody's going to be pleased with that. Some folks would like to see more park space, more open space. My issue here is, given private property owners' rights, what are the uses, how well does that fit in? I think this ameliorates some of the issues, provides a buffer for the council later on by just doing a conceptual zoning on the north park. We can come back and scrutinize this a little closer when we get a realistic site plan and we know for certain who those owners and occupants are going to be, because quite frankly, there's no owners, no occupants coming in. The other issue too is on the lower half with rezoning the C2, that is consistent with the Mesa general plan. As a matter of fact, it was identified in the general plan as C2, so that target's consistent. I'm sure there'll be some public comment on this as well, but I wanted to make those statements before we proceeded further. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Are there any requests to speak on 12D?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Council action? I have a motion by Vice Mayor for approval. Is there a second? And second by Councilmember Summers. Tom?
I guess I just have one comment and one question. The comment is this development agreement first arose on my horizon or my radar screen when I got the agenda on Friday. I think that's a little late to know that one council member is driving, and I don't object to Scott doing it, to driving a development agreement, but I just think it would be nice if we knew about it a little sooner than Friday evening when we get our agenda packet. Secondly, I'm assuming that the applicant is all right with this agreement or he wouldn't be here, but I do have to ask you, Scott, is there any regulation in here on the type of toilet paper that must be utilized on the grounds?
Even I have my limits.
They're not recognizable this evening.
Well, these were as much as I'd like to say I was driving it, Tom, I wasn't. This was done actually on behalf of the developer himself coming forward. This is his development agreement. The only thing that I would claim credit for was there was some issue in here on a comma. I swear to you that's true. So
I think this comes with a sheet that we had at the study session with 2 corrections to be incorporated into the agreement.
That's correct, Mayor. Since you are approving the development agreement, we wanted to point out just a couple typographical errors. The first is section 3.6.2.5. The words "such as" are being deleted. In section 3.6.3.3, the comma after the word uses is deleted and replaced with a period.
Okay. Yeah. Tom, did you have anything else?
No.
All right. Any other discussion on this item? All right, have a motion and second. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. That puts us over on page 10, item number 14. And this is to discuss and take action on the adoption of a notice of intent to enter into a retail development tax incentive agreement with Waveyard Development LLC for the development of a 125 plus or minus acre water entertainment resort office commercial retail and residential development generally located in the 2000 to 2600 block of West 8th Street between 8th Street on the south and the 202 freeway and the City of Mesa Water Reclamation Plant to the north. Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I will declare the same conflict that I just declared on item whatever that was back there, because this involves Waveyard and has potential to be in conflict, in competition with a relative's interest in a business. I will refrain from discussion or voting on this.
Okay. I have 2 requests to speak. Ernie Johnson.
Mayor Hawker and members of the council, I would just like to express my support of this motion of Wave Yard and suggest that you approve it. Thank you.
Tom?
Hi, my name is Tom Schroeke, 7604 East Wolf Canyon. A buyer seeking to purchase land not currently for sale should make a generous offer. A recent city land sale indicates a value of $50 million for this land, far more than the $30 million offered. Mesa should seek multiple potential buyers. Competition can only help sales efforts. Mesa sales tax ordinance requires retailers to pay sales taxes to the city on retail activity. Why has the city negotiated to accept as partial payment for the land future tax revenues to which is already entitled? The city has agreed to sell land for $20 million less than fair value to the only buyer it has negotiated with and will accept as payment $20 million in future sales taxes it is already entitled to collect. Mesa is selling property worth $50 million for $10 million. Do not insult voters by asking them to vote for this terrible agreement. Why should voters vote for a property tax when they see the council continuing to give away tax dollars to developers? If you put this on the ballot, I am likely to vote against the property tax supported bonds, partly in protest, but mainly out of fear you will use the financial flexibility a property tax will afford to give away even more tax dollars. This council must examine its dealings with the Riverview neighborhood. The neighbors were not satisfied with the type of retail development found in the rest of Mesa. Their desire to have an upscale development with a Bass store will cost Mesa $80 million. Now they ask Mesa to sell property for $40 million less than fair value as part of another costly development agreement. What would happen if all development in the city were subject to similar neighborhood demands? Mesa would soon be bankrupt. Mesa cannot afford this neighborhood's demands. The council should have a policy of saying no to neighborhood demands for special treatment that the city cannot afford to extend to all of Mesa. I have seven copies of a recent Goldwater Institute report for you. The report argues that developer rebates are unconstitutional, an argument that may soon be the basis for a legal challenge in Arizona courts. Please make sure this agreement is drafted so that it cannot be modified by the courts in a manner harmful to Mesa. Thank you.
Are there any other requests to speak on this item?
I have no more, Mayor.
All right. This is to comply with the notice of intent to enter into a retail development tax incentive agreement. I believe there was some state law passed and the procedure that the city had to comply with. You want to?
Yes, Mayor, that's correct. It's ARS 9-500.11, and it sets out the process that council must follow if it intends to enter into an economic tax development agreement. Which this would include, and the statute specifically authorizes the city to enter into such an agreement so long as it follows the process. The first step in the process is for council to consider a notice of intent. It must be adopted by council at least 14 days before the council is to consider the development agreement, which at this point is planned to be brought back to the council June 4th for consideration and action.
I believe there's also some standards that have to be complied with, that there's a net gain to the project and that it's not a giveaway of money to a developer through the tax increment financing concept?
Mayor, that's correct. The statute also requires that the council, before entering into the agreement, that it make two specific findings of fact. And the findings of fact will require a two-thirds vote of the council. The first finding of fact is that the proposed tax incentive is anticipated to raise more revenue than the amount of the incentive within the duration of the agreement. So as the mayor said, that it will raise more revenue than the tax incentive being provided. The second finding of fact is that in the absence of a tax incentive, the retail business facility or similar retail business facility would not locate in the city in the same time, place, or manner. A council will be asked to make that determination on June 4th. The statute also requires that an independent economic analysis be done to support the finding that the revenue will exceed the expected cost of the development agreement. The statute requires two-thirds vote on the development agreement for it to be adopted. And the statute finally requires that every 2 years a status report be brought back to council at a public meeting to discuss what is the revenue generated through the project and what is the expenses or the tax incentive provided.
Okay, thank you. I have a motion by Councilmember Griswold, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval. Discussion? Except I have one more card. Frank, did you want to speak on this one?
Yes, sir.
Usually we cut it off, so I'll...
All right. My name is Frank Alger. My address is 1009 North April. I just want to let the council know that I'm in favor of this. I'm new to the city. I've only been here about 5 years. My parents moved here in 1986. And back then, the city was where everybody came to shop and everybody came to Mesa to do things. Since then, businesses have been moving out, dealerships, lots of things have been moving out. I believe that this is absolutely vital project for the city of Mesa. It doesn't, not only just the tax revenue that it'll bring in, but it'll bring people in. It'll bring people to our restaurants and our hotels and our shops. And I believe this will bring a lot of people into the city. I just want to let the council know, again, that there are a lot of people in favor of this, and I think that we should bring this into the city.
Okay. Any other council discussion on this item? Councilmember Griswold.
You know, when facts and figures are thrown out, I sort of question, it's always interesting. Right now, we're receiving zero from this land. Dollars. I think the total from the two golf courses is around $50,000 of revenue income. This project generates $10 million up front and $2 million a year for quite a few years out. It goes to police, fire, etc. I think it's a bad deal for neighbors. $50,000 versus the $30,000 you probably could get for this property if it made it into a giant gravel pit. That was the highest, best use. I don't know if Mr. Rawls would expect. Still is? Okay, he wants to make the offer right now. The neighbors in the city is not exactly anxious, as that's your entrance to Mesa, to have a giant gravel pit, and the neighbors are not looking to be covered with dust and dirt. So what you've got to do is sell land for what you can sell it for, the uses that are legal, the uses that are acceptable. Waveyard, we didn't go looking for it. This is a major resort, a major water resort, that comes to Mesa. This is something good for the people of Mesa. It's a good business deal. They're going to spend $500 million of their own money, and we're going to get $2 million a year for about 20 years. That's not a bad deal. Excuse me, 10 years. You know, that's not a bad deal for Mesa. So I'm in favor of it. I think that it goes before the voters. The voters are going to get to discuss it either way, if they want it or not want it. What you see when something like this happens is the growth around it. You know, blight starts one house at a time. Redevelopment starts one house at a time. When you put that kind of development and that kind of investment in a neighborhood, all the neighborhood around there starts getting more valuable, and people start spending money on the area. So I'm hoping for great things for West Mesa, and I'll be in favor of it.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
The vote is 6 ayes and 1 abstention, with Councilmember Walters abstaining because of potential conflict. All right, next item is on page 11, 15H. This is the 3800 block of North Higley Road, east side, located north of Thomas Road and east of Higley Road, approximately 10 acres. It's rezoned from R190. Conceptual M1 to M1 and site plan review. This request will allow the development of an industrial subdivision. I have a request to speak by Mark Meekew.
Mayor Hawker and members of the council. My name is Mark Meekew, and I own property at 3802 North 54th Street, which is directly south of this proposed industrial complex. I'm currently opposed to it because I was not informed of the neighborhood meetings. Apparently there was two neighborhood meetings that were held. I was informed of the planning and zoning meeting, but I was not able to attend. So I guess I'd like to get some information. It said planning and zoning approved it pending conditions. So maybe if some of those conditions could be discussed. My main concern really is the roadways in and out of this proposed project. 54th Street in particular, as it goes from Thomas Road to the proposed project. I did have a chance to speak to Mr. Welker, I guess who's representing this project, and I requested a plat map and some other information. I never received that. And I guess really want to know what the city's going to do with the infrastructure on 54th Street, and then also what the planning is going to be. I guess there's going to be a new street that is proposed that's going to go from Higley to 54th Street, which would be on the south side of the proposed project and on the north edge of my property. So if we could get some additional information on that, I would appreciate it. Okay. And I'm going to ask the basically council that to table this until additional council meeting, so maybe we can get some additional information. Thank you.
I'm sure we can pull the information out of one of these packets and give it to you here today. You want to respond on the road? Just quick briefing.
Mayor, Council, Jeff Welker, 1755 South Val Vista. We apologize that this gentleman did not get the information. We mailed the notices to the addresses listed on the county records. I also did get the call from him. I did mail to the same address. I did not get any letters back indicating that it was a bad address, and have not received any further phone calls from him indicating that he did not receive the information and was still interested in finding out more about the property. So we're happy to provide him whatever information he'd like about it and happy to share it with him. We're excited about the project and the support we've received from the Planning and Zoning Board and the staff. So we can get that to him today.
All right. Do you have a copy of our council information?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and just give him a copy. You can have mine later if you'd like to. We'll switch them out here. Any other questions, comments by council on this action? I have a motion for approval by Councilmember Rawls. For a second. Councilmember Griswold.
This area is designated in the general master plan voted on the voters for M1, for major industrial development. And it is a strange area because it is originally large desert homes and it's slowly changing over to industrial. It's right north of Falcon Field Airport. It's zoned for what it's on the master plan, what it's going to be used for. But there needs to be communication with the neighbors, and I understand if someone thinks they're blindsided. The people right on the south side have already called me. I went down and met their house. They worked out some issues, and I thought the issues were resolved, too. I have not heard. Usually people call me in the area when they have a problem, and I end up at their house listening to whatever is going on. So I thought issues were worked out. This is exactly what's been going on. You've got two major new employers right north of this. This is the next one right in line. And I think it makes sense for this area because this right above it, you have Tally Industrial with high defense and explosives. So it makes sense.
Okay. Do you want to second the motion? All right. I have a motion and second for approval of zoning case Z07-27. Any other comments, Vice Mayor?
Mayor, I'm going to support this item. I know it seems like an easy thing to say, well, if you could just give it a couple of more weeks. But a couple more weeks means money to people, and if you were aware of the case when it was at Planning and Zoning, then in between here and there is the time to ask those additional questions, not for us to delay the case. It looks like a lot of work has been done, and it seems to me like it would be a good time for you to talk to Mark right now when we're done voting, Jeff, make sure that he gets all of his questions answered. Thank you.
Okay. There's a motion and second. Any other discussion? Would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. The next is page 1215J. This is one that we heard earlier for the minor general plan amendment. Again, this is the 1300 to 1500 block of South Salsamon Road, west side. Located south of Southern Avenue and west of Salsamon Road, 34.5 acres. Site plan modification. It's a modification to the Superstition Springs Development Master Plan. the rezone in eastern portion of the site from M1 PAD DMP to C2 PAD Development Master Plan. This request will allow for the development of the Costco, an industrial park, and a future retail development. Okay, I have a motion by Councilmember Summers for approval, seconded by Councilmember Walters. And I believe that 15J was because we had the public hearings earlier. Any other comments or questions, requests to speak on this?
I have none, Mayor.
All right. Okay, would you please vote? Put it in. Rex. All right. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Next item is on page 13. Which one do we have? Okay, 15M. And this is the 8400 to 8800 block of East Elliott Road, north side, and the 3200 to 3600 block of South Hawes Road, east side, located at the northeast corner of Elliott and Hawes Road. It's 170 plus or minus acres. This is the establishment of the development master plan for a regional shopping and mixed-use employment center. And this relates to item 12D, which I think we've had some comments. Typically what we do on this, let me go back to my zoning format, is we would first have the applicant, and then we'd have the public, and then we'd have staff, and followed by council members. So does the applicant wish to present this? Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. For your record, my name is Ralph Pugh, and my office address is at 1930 East Brown Road in Mesa. It's a pleasure this evening to be with you on behalf of Mr. Nelson Stewart and his entity known as NKS3. Mr. Stewart is the owner of the 170 acres located at the northwest corner of the Loop 202 and Elliott. This case comes to you, Mayor and Council members, with a recommendation of approval from the staff, with a recommendation of approval from the Planning and Zoning Board. And I don't think I'll take time this evening to walk you through the entire thing unless you would like that. I understand there's those here that would like to speak on this matter. Perhaps I could just highlight a few of the important issues and then reserve some time to respond to questions that come up. That may save time in the process. This case, Mayor and Council, is a unique approach to combining the development of a large tract of land, frankly one of the largest we have, at an arterial and freeway interchange. We have general plan designations of mixed-use employment and regional commercial. And this development master plan that we are asking approval on the site incorporates those two uses so that you have regional retail shopping on the one hand and you have employment uses on the other. And frankly, critical to this matter and tied down very closely in the development agreement is the timing and the development of these parcels, of this parcel, so that those balance of uses remains consistent in the site. The office component is important to attracting employers to this area. The retail component is important for the shopping that can occur in that area. I think one of the issues that has arisen has to do with the convention hotel that we think is appropriate on the north end of the site, where it is buffered by transmission lines and a large setback from neighborhood. Keep in mind, what we're talking about tonight for the benefit of the council and the neighbors is a development master plan and conceptual only zoning on the north half of this property. Once a development plan comes forward with a formal site plan with the uses outlined in the DMP, we will come back to this council for the zoning case, and if there is a high-rise element to either the hotel or the offices or any use, frankly, it's got to come back to the council, back to the planning board for a bonus intensity zone. You then at that time can scrutinize carefully the setbacks, the location, the lines of sight, the appropriateness of the location on the plan, all those types of things. Another question has come up that I'd like to just address briefly, and that has to do with environmental issues. Frankly, I'm somewhat at a loss as to what those might be. I've heard that there's an issue of open space and preservation of land. Let me just state clearly that we and or any developer will have to comply with both local and federal and state environmental laws as they exist at the time. And we do have open space in this plan, but we are not interested in setting aside any portion of this, what is unremarkable desert land, frankly, for conservation purposes. So if that topic comes up tonight, that is something that we are not interested in. Mayor and Council, I'll leave it at that, urge your support of the case, and reserve some time to respond to questions and issues that might arise. Thank you, Mayor.
We have a seat there in the front row, Mr. Pugh. Carolyn McReynolds, would like to speak?
Thank you. Good evening. When the group of neighbors came to the Planning and Zoning Board meeting, that was a few weeks ago, we didn't realize that it had already been decided. And all of the comments that we made, and some of them I thought were very valid, Mr. Pugh tends to preempt them by talking about the shopping center issue of saturation in the area so that we can't bring it up. The concerns that we had, which are 178 acres of concrete, multi-story buildings, is going to produce incredible amounts of traffic, noise, and 24/7 lighting for us. And, you know, that may not be a big deal to anyone else because they don't live there, but we do. In the area where I live, there are zoning board everywhere. I mean, I just have to drive down the street and every single piece of land in that area is being rezoned for retail office space. So we've already got a lot of that that's already going in. We also have a lot that hasn't been built yet that has already been rezoned. Everything in that area is going for retail. We have three large shopping centers in the area that are not that far from where we live and we're quite capable of driving there. They are not the high end that Mr. Pugh is talking about, but the neighborhood itself is not high end. We're middle income. We have a large amount of retired community. We have two large areas that are retired people. I don't know that they would have the need to have high end. The middle income families are families. They're not in Scottsdale trying to, you know, make it something that they're not. My other concern, which has been really a big problem for me, has been the fact that in spite of all of the attempts from the city of Mesa and from SRP, we seem to have ignored the fact that we're in a drought. We keep building, and yet we're not allowing the resources that we have. If we have to conserve, every family has to conserve, then why should we bother when we keep getting all these developments? I know they're going to use energy efficient toilets or whatever, you know. I mean, the point is that we're being asked to do this, and yet on the other side, everyone else is just using more and more, and that's not really fair to us. You know, we've already got high-end gas prices. You know, what's going to be next? A $3 bottle of water, if that's going to be the situation where our limited resources are not being taken care of. I have a major concern about that. That's not an environmental issue. That's a reality. This is the ninth year of a drought here. We cannot sustain this. If we're not careful, we are going to be a dust bowl, which is what was in the paper a few weeks ago. There are many things that I'm concerned about, and I obviously don't have the time to bring them up, but one of the things that does bother me is, there you go, thank you.
Jason?
Good evening, Mayor, council members. I come before you to humbly ask to table this rezoning issue to a future date so all stakeholders can get a grasp of what this development is, the terms of the development agreement, and address the general plan violations brought up in the planning and zoning meeting in April. The zoning process is moving way too fast. Many residents don't even know this project is happening and are upset and feel left out of the process. Barely a month has passed since the sign went up on the property and only one neighborhood meeting was held. This is in sharp contrast of other developments that have been acted on by the City Council that were smaller in nature but had more involvement from the community. I've got five major concerns for the development. The first one being the development agreement has not been available to the public. And as referred by the council, the agreement is his agreement, Mr. Pugh's. And it was only given to you on Friday. This is going to be the mechanism that, as Mr. Pugh says, will tie their hands and force them to deliver on their promises before the land goes back to ag. It is detrimental this document is scrutinized by all stakeholders to make sure there isn't an opportunity for them to come back and said to say the developer had hopes and dreams of bringing high-end retail to the Southeast Valley, but, and that's exactly what Mr. Pugh did last month on another development that promised resorts to land south of here. The other concern is, why isn't this entire piece being rezoned and only the southern portion? If history offers any glimpse of the future, NKS has a track record of purchasing land, putting a pad together, getting development zoned, and selling it to another group. You can look at Gadsden Greens, Sonoran Heights, Ironwood Commons, all near Casa Grande that have followed the same procedure. What will keep them from selling the southern portion now that will be zone C2 and holding the northern portion to develop or keep the land as it appreciates with the new zoning? I think that's a major, major consideration because this has been NKS's modus operandi. And I have no problem with that other than that is not what's being presented to the City Council. I also want to talk about just what is this center. It's been offered as an indoor-outdoor lifestyle hybrid, restaurants, grocery, banking, office, financial, hotel, spa, fitness, auto mall, hospital, medical, amusement park, business park. It's everything but 70 trombones. And, okay. In his presentation, he talks about this being a mega mall and off-price retail. And it's not what he's presenting to the City Council, but is what's being presented to you all. Quickly, I think this project could use a design charrette. The City of Mesa has used this many times, and famously, the Riverview project has benefited from this. And I would sure hope that you would look into that. There's a lot of people very concerned about this project not going as planned. And I would hope that we could table this for a short time, gather our senses, and, okay, thank you. Thank you.
Tom Diestries, is that right? Followed by William Jesse.
Hello. My name is Tony Diestries. I live at 9764 East Macedo. I'm here today to show my support for this project. I want the council to know there are many who live in the area that are very excited about the and with anticipation of the progress in the area. I read an article a couple of weeks ago which included statements of those who were opposed, and although I respect their opinions, I cannot agree. I and everyone I know who live in East Mesa moved out there because we can get more house for our money, not because we wanted to live in secluded in the desert or take long drives to work or upscale shopping markets. Mesa needs the project and more projects like it to grow and prosper. We need to keep pace with other cities in the valley. It's an important way to bring revenue to the city. We're behind the curve of Tempe, Scottsdale, Chandler, and now even Glendale to bring business into our communities. I believe it's fiscally important for Mesa to work with businesses and our neighbors to make this happen, specifically the neighbors who are directly impacted. I don't pretend to understand all the details of what it takes to rezone an area, approve a project, and get support from the community. However, there seems to be no reason I can imagine we can't come together to get it done. Our city planners have had progressive ideas, and it's high time they're put into action with the support of the community. I know in the end we really all want the same thing. Thank you.
William?
Good evening. My name is Bill Jessen. I live at 9765 East Macedo and Augusta Ranch. And again, I also support the need for an upscale shopping center, just as was just previously mentioned. Currently today, the folks in our area, the people that live in East Mesa, are shopping and choosing to spend our money and to give our tax dollars to other cities. And you know, repeatedly, as we do want nicer shopping, we do want upscale, we don't want another Walmart zone for that area. That is not something that is attracting us. We want upscale shopping. We also want hotels, so when we have families and friends and business meetings, we can have people come to the East Valley that actually have the ability to stay at a hotel that is nicer than some of the very sparse hotels that we currently have in the East Valley. I agree that there might not have been enough attention to this issue, but there's a flip side of that. There's more people that support this that would also like to be aware of it and live in our neighborhoods that would be more than willing to come and speak on these issues instead of it just being squashed and put down. Just kind of to summarize, you know, it is needed. The people in our area do choose to live in the East Valley and do not choose to move to Scottsdale and the upper ends of other cities because we like where we're at. However, if the city of Mesa cannot move forward and be progressive in their thinking, then we will also be choose as many others to move out and to move to other parts of the city. Thank you.
Are there any other requests to speak on this item? Do you have any other cards?
I have no more, Mayor.
Okay. Ralph?
Mayor and council members, briefly, we're here tonight because over the years you have effectively held the line on the transmission lines and have designated that area for economic development, both employment, retail, and other non-residential uses. This, frankly, is a major step in implementing the general plan that we have talked about, and you have been so diligent, much to my chagrin in many instances, in guarding and protecting. Let me just say this too, for those who feel that this has been fast, we actually began this process almost a year ago. It took 5 to 6 months to discuss it, understand it, figure out what to do, file a case early this year, and we come now here at the end of May. So by any means, it is not unusual in its time length nor unnecessarily quick. With respect to neighborhood input, we also thought about the impact of this site, and we sent notices to over a half mile radius around the site, 1,200 letters of notification for our neighborhood meeting. And so we've tried diligently to outreach in that regard. And this development master plan, again, is a first step in the development of an important site like this. There'll be many, many, many other opportunities to look at the zoning, look at the details, look at the design guidelines, and those things that need to be done. Finally, the development agreement, council members, is not mine. I took a stab at drafting it. The city attorney's office took their review of it, made substantial comments and improvements to it, tightened it down, did what needed to be done, and it is a collaborative effort, not mine by any means. It was worked on together, and we've come to the conclusion as where we are today. Thank you, Mayor and Council. We urge your support.
Any council questions on this item? Tom?
I just need to know, Ralph, whose idea was it? The development agreement?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rawls, quite frankly, I thought about that as a mechanism to tie down the development to the standards and the quality that we were presenting.
Okay.
Exactly.
What I want to know, then I will take back everything I said.
Oh, not everything.
It wasn't. Not everything. Ralph?
Even about my tie?
You should have told me about it earlier.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry about that, council member. I'm sorry.
Okay. Somebody want to try a motion on this then? Or other comments? Vice Mayor first.
Mayor, I'm going to make a motion for approval of this. This is not the end of this process by any means. This is a DMP. And with conceptual zoning on the north piece of this, which is the part that's most immediately adjacent to the neighborhood, you will have to go back out to neighborhood meetings. You will have to have more participation. The folks who are here have an opportunity to involve their neighbors who they'd like to have involved, who they do not see here today. either for or against or change or whatever it happens to be. That will go forward. There were a couple of questions that were raised that I just want to take a second to answer. This project does not have the burden of solving all water issues for the state of Arizona, but I do think that it's important to recognize that we have been the beneficiaries of a long, long time of planning a water portfolio for the city of Mesa, and we may actually have the finest water portfolio in the state of Arizona. That does not mean we don't have a responsibility to watch out for water, and I would anticipate, Mr. Pugh, that with a development of this caliber, that that's one of those things that you will be looking out for, and also looking at green standards and other kinds of things, which are really very much what we're seeing with high-end development, people looking at those kinds of issues. The impact on the neighborhood will be most clearly felt, I would assume, as that northern portion gets discussed, and so I think you'll see a lot more participation there. Why is this happening? Well, we've got something in this neighborhood that we have not had before. It's called a freeway. And when you get a freeway, you get all kinds of development that occurs along the corridor of that freeway. And the best part of this is that you are looking at high-end development. I appreciate that. I was at Dana Park the other day, and again thinking about how smart that council was to hold that developer, and I think, Kino, you were part of that, holding that developer to what they said they were going to build. They ended up building it, and I think that they have done very well by their development that they agreed to and then constructed. Thank you, Mayor.
I have a motion and a second. Motion by Vice Mayor, seconded by Councilmember Rowles. Scott?
I wanted to address one more question that has to do with the use of the property. As it relates to the development agreement, there's been some concern, and I'm looking right at you, Debbie, our city attorney. There's been concern that the developer has a reputation of taking the land and either parceling it out and selling it. If that were to be the case in this situation, how does this development agreement affect the owner of either the entire piece or just, say, the C2 piece to the south?
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, the development agreement in specifically section 4.7 states that the developer must develop consistent with the agreement. It does allow the developer to sell in whole or in part, but it requires that if they sell a piece or all of the property, the new owner must comply with the development agreement, so they are still bound by the terms and conditions of the
development. Did your mic on? I'm having a little difficulty with it.
I'm sorry, Mayor. It is on. I must not have it close enough.
All right, try that.
Section 4.7 deals with the developer's right to assign all or part of this agreement. It specifically states that if they assign part of it or all of it, the new owners are required to comply with all of the terms and conditions of this development agreement, just as the current developer is.
Okay. Mr. Pugh, is that your understanding, your interpretation of that particular section?
Mayor Hawker, Councilmember Summers, the answer to that question is yes. And the other assurance you have is that we have to bring in a plan consistent with this development master plan overall to implement this concept.
And my other assurance is that you just said that on TV.
That's true.
So what he said there, if you didn't catch it, that if they sell it either in whole or in part, they have to stay to the development agreement as agreed upon by the developer, with our attorneys working on it as well on behalf of the city. So all of those issues I mentioned in 12D with the open spaces and how that was designed, the fact that this is conceptual only to the north, so there is no entitlement here as would be given or granted by zoning, all that is in effect until we see a site plan. I don't know how to stress enough that this whole thing really is conceptual. There's a site plan that this is our goal. But it's not a site plan that we would see as a board or a council to say, this is what we're approving, and we're going to zone for this, and you're going to start building for this. This is the weirdest site plan brought to me in my 1 year on this council that said, here's the site plan, this is what we're going to build in concept, and we're going to try to get it. Our defense on this for the residents, or our protection for this for our residents, is that the development agreement requires them to go for these types of developments they're built in, and if that does not work, then they're in violation. Am I right? I see you walking forward.
Councilmember Summers, if I can. Please, the concept of a development master plan, while it is unusual, you don't see many of those today because the city is predominantly built out in the most in the largest parcels that we used to do development master plans on all the time. The development master plan under your zoning code is a specific tool to be used in conjunction with conceptual zoning for future development of a specific plan. So what we tried to do is take a planning tool specifically authorized in your code and use it under circumstances that we felt, and I think the staff and planning board concurred, were appropriate. Thank you.
And I'm comfortable with this going forward. I still have concerns about some of the, well, one really element of the site plan, and we've had that discussion.
Yes.
But we still have another zoning process to go through for the north half. A site plan has to be approved, and you'd have to get permission for the density. So with that built in, with the assurances from our attorneys and your confirmation that this development agreement does deal with some of the concerns about selling this off in parts, and then I can feel comfortable letting you go forward, and let's see what you can bring to us a little more solid. We'll have that discussion.
Okay. Other discussion on the motion? Okay. Councilmember Whalen, did you want to enter into this one?
I'm ready to vote.
Okay, let's go ahead and do so then. Everyone please vote. Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote on it?
I vote aye.
All right. Okay, the vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Okay, the next item is 15N on page 13. This corresponds to the public hearing on 5A and 5B. This is the 1200 block of South Salsamon Road, located southwest of Southern Avenue and Salsamon Road, 5 acres. And this is being rezoned from AG DMP to C2 DMP, site plan review and modification of the Superstition Springs Development Master Plan. This request will allow the development of new retail buildings. And I have a motion by Councilmember Rawls, seconded by Councilmember Summers for approval. Any discussion? All right, would you please vote? Councilmember Whalen, how do you vote? Councilmember Whalen on 15N, zoning case Z07-34. How do you vote?
I'm sorry, Mayor. I thought you heard me. I vote aye.
Okay. Councilmember Walters, did you punch in? Okay. The vote is unanimous in favor of the ayes. Okay. The next item is on page 14. This is items from citizens present. This is an opportunity for three speakers to address the council on any issues. Do we have any requests to speak this evening?
We have three citizens who would like to address the council.
Okay, well, you want to read them off in the order that you received them, please? Okay.
The first speaker is Frank Alger.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. My name is Frank Alger. My address is 1009 North April in Mesa, Arizona. And I just come again on behalf of the Mesa Veterans Day Parade Association just to remind the council that we did have our monthly meeting last Friday. It's always the third Friday of every month at 1 o'clock in the at the Mesa City Hall in room 170. And we are having, we are having a poker tournament to raise money for the Mesa Veterans Day Parade, just to remind everybody out there that the city no longer sponsors it, and so there's a group of us that got together and we're raising the money for that. The website, if anybody wants to go to, is www.mesaveterans.org. If anybody wants to support it, and we appreciate your support in our endeavors, council. And then again, I would like to just very quickly address Councilmember Rawls on his refusal to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and to respect our flag. And I just a quick question. I know we've had this back and forth for a long time, again, I did bring my son. My son did want to come with me today, and he's kind of interested in kind of what's going on, as are a lot of students. And again, as a leader of our city, Councilmember Rawls, you need to lead our city, and by choosing which rules and regulations and codes that you want to obey sets a bad precedence for our youth. And I'd just like to read a law, and it is a law, Title 36, Chapter 10. It's in our national United States Code. Chapter 10, Title 36, Chapter 10, paragraph 172, Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag, Manner of Delivery. The Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag, and it gives the pledge, I'm not going to read it, should be, and then it goes, should be rendered by standing at attention, facing the flag with right hand over the heart. When not in uniform, men should remove their headdress with their right hand and hold it on the left shoulder, and the hand being over the heart. Persons in uniform should remain silent, face the flag, render a military salute. Aliens should stand at attention. It's pretty pretty simple. Again, I work with youth. I teach youth, and I think it's very important for us to set a good standard. And again, teaching them that it's okay, you know, to choose which rules and regulations. It's just like the speed limit. You know, if we drive 40 and it's in 35, we're disobeying the law. Simple process, but it's kind of the same application, I believe. And so, again, thank you for your support for the Mesa Veterans Day Parade Association and your time here.
Okay. If somebody asks a question or makes a comment about a council member, they do have the right to respond back. Tom, do you desire to do so?
I do, Mayor. Since our last meeting on May 7th, 44 American soldiers have been killed in Iraq. I was going to, but for the late hour, I'm not going to read the 46 names from those that were not disclosed the last time I read them, and the 12 that have not yet been released. I will do so at every meeting that Mr. Alger or anyone else takes issue with my failure to stand with the pledge. So I just want to make that promise. I'm not doing it tonight out of a sense of timeliness. But I will say there is no rule, there is no regulation, there is no code, there is no law, there is no requirement, there is no obligation. What you described, Frank, was somebody who wants to render the pledge as how to do it. It doesn't say that you have to do it. And if there's one child in this country, just one child, who learns they don't have to do what everybody else wants them to do, then what I'm doing is worthwhile. But mostly, I want to bring this debate back to the soldiers who are dying and not focus it on the symbols or the flag or my freedom of speech. It's about those men and women in harm's way for a cause that I believe is immoral and unjust.
Could you read off the name of the next speaker, please?
The next speaker is Greg DeVorce.
Greg, you have 3 minutes to address the council.
Huh?
You have 3 minutes, would you please?
All right. First of all, my name is Greg DeVorce. My address is 2512 South Jefferson Avenue in Mesa. And I just want to tell you about, you know, public transportation on a Saturday in Mesa. Like I said before, and I will say one more time again, if you get rid of public transportation on a Saturday and you get rid of Dial-A-Ride, it would send a negative message that that you just plain don't care about the public that you serve. Because if we need public transportation and Dial-A-Ride, just to get away from the domestic boredom of everyday life. Because there's a whole lot of people who otherwise are not ready to have a vehicle, much less ready to have, you know, save up some money for it, because it's very difficult, especially in the city of Mesa, where, you know, people drive in their cars, and you'll find a whole lot of other people who otherwise do not have a car because they're just not ready to have it, and they're just not financially ready for it, and they just they're too busy depending on other family members and friends just to, you know, to bumming rides to and fro places and all. And They will tell you, I wish I could if I would, but you know how it is. They'll say, in other words, it means no. And as if that ain't enough, you know, public transportation on a Saturday basis, it's paramount in the city of Mesa, especially for those who otherwise cannot go anywhere, who just want nothing but to get away from the domestic boredom, who want nothing but to earn money for their family members and themselves, because there's a whole lot of people that live in the city of Mesa that work on Saturday. And if you get rid of public transportation on a Saturday basis, in essence, it's a way of telling people, well, we don't give a damn about you. And as if that ain't enough, keep public transportation on a Saturday and dial a ride in Mesa, because we need it. It's very paramount in the city of Mesa.
And the third speaker?
Third speaker is Nate Kane.
When I was sitting here, Nate Kane, 1325 West Keats. When I was sitting here, I noticed there was a third slot left, so I thought I would take it. You probably all noticed that the Climate Park meeting got canceled last week, despite what you may think, that had nothing to do with me. But I thought I would take the opportunity to remind people that the meeting has been carried over till tomorrow at Climate Park, 8th Avenue and Extension. At 5 o'clock, the meeting is the Parks and Recs Board, and at 6:30, across the street at Powell Junior High in the cafeteria will be a public meeting to get comments and all. I'm very concerned about the plans that I've seen so far. There were three site plans showing them packing in a total of five ball fields at the site, which currently only has two. Even if that doesn't come to fruition, it seems like there's a good potential for losing a lot of amenities at that park. So without passing too much judgment now, based on the meeting coming up tomorrow, I just use the opportunity to remind people at home in TV land that they may want to check that out. And of course, since the park is in Kyle Jones' district, I expect he'll be there. And since the school is in Tom Rawls' district, then I guess he'll be there too. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. That's it for the speakers. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. I have a motion and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned. Mr. Whalen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Mayor.